just as he is.
Once on a hillside, people were gathered, hoping to see him as thousands were fed. He touched the blind eyes, he healed broken spirits, moved with compassion, he raised up the dead.
Once on a hillside, watching as Jesus was crucified, no one showed mercy to the one who had healed them. Yet Jesus loved them as he suffered and died.
Once on a hillside,
people were gathered, for Jesus had risen and soon would ascend.
Then as he
blessed them, he rose to the heavens and gave them his promise to come back again. We shall see Jesus just as they saw him. There is no greater promise than this. When he returns in power and glory, we shall see Jesus just as he is. He is.
Amen. Amen. All right, open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Amen. Let's stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we shall begin to read in verse number 1, reading through verse number 6. For those of you that are latecomers looking for a seat, there's always seats up front. So, feel free to just come right on up. If you walk down the aisle and someone's sitting on the end, look at them and ask them to move over, and there's plenty of seats. All right. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I love that statement. And sat upon it. Rome had put its seal on it to make sure it didn't open. God just rolled it back and the angel sat on top of the stone. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And I want you to notice that statement in verse number 6. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Oh, it was a new thing for everybody but Jesus. And it ought not been a new thing for anybody. Because over and over again throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus had taught them that he was going to die. He would be buried. But after 3 days, he would rise again. And in the Gospel of Matthew, at least 4 times is recorded the different instances where Jesus told the people that he was going to die and he would be buried. But after 3 days, he would rise again. And he did, as he said. Father, help me this morning as we bring this message. Give me liberty and power to do so. I'm claiming today the promise that in our weakness, you can be strong. And I know how desperately I need you today, and I'm asking you to do your work as only you can. Help me, Lord, as I preach this message, and help it to find a place in the heart and the life of people who are here. Some need to be saved today, and thank God for the resurrection that made it possible for any sinner anywhere with simple faith in Jesus Christ to be born again. And then, Father, there's some people with heavy hearts and heavy burdens. And Lord God, I ask you today to speak to their hearts. Lift those burdens. May they find hope and help in the resurrected Savior, who is now our great high priest. He's been touched in all points as we are. He knows what we suffer. He knows the burdens that we bear. And he is able to comfort us and succor us and give us help in our hour of need. Now, Lord Jesus, someone today is needing to find a place where they can call their church an old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist church, where their hearts can be made new and their lives can be transformed and direction can be given to them for raising a family, building a life that will please you. Now, Lord, help me this morning as we preach this message and save every unsaved person listening to my voice. Please, we beg it. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Oh, what wonderful words these are. He is not here, for he is risen. The Sabbath had passed, and it was early on the first day of the week. Jesus Christ, the one who had been declared by God and by John the Baptist, and with many signs and miracles, that he is the promised Messiah. They had taken him and crucified him and buried him in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. On that early Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, came to the tomb where the body of Jesus had been buried. God had moved the great stone that sealed the tomb with an earthquake. And from that tomb, setting on the stone that had been rolled away, the words of the angelic messenger to these two Marys was sent forth. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. That message must have caused the host of heaven to shout. And that same message truly must have caused the devil and all the devils of hell to tremble. You see, he is not just another impostor. He is not merely a man. He is the one who was slain before the foundation of the world, as God has said. He is the creator of all things that exist, both in heaven and on earth. He is the Messiah, the anointed of God. He is the sin sacrifice for all who have sinned. He is the Savior for any sinner who will accept Him as their own personal Savior. And on this Easter Sunday morning, this Resurrection Sunday, I want to use the angelic message as stated here in Matthew to declare the meaning and the message of this Resurrection Sunday. The first thing I want to point out is the person and the prophecy of the resurrection. Make no mistake about it. This person of whom the angel spoke was the same one who was called Jesus by the angels when they explained His miraculous birth to Joseph, who was espoused to the Virgin Mary. This person who was crucified and was buried in that borrowed tomb was the same person that Isaiah had prophesied about 750 years earlier. In Isaiah 7:14, he said, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Isaiah 9:6, again Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." This person who was crucified and buried in that borrowed tomb was the same person that Isaiah prophesied about in Isaiah 53 when he said, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death. Because He hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. But when thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed and shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper at His hand, and He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied." This is the same Jesus that Isaiah is prophesying about. This person that had been crucified and sealed in that tomb was the same person of whom John the Baptist spoke when he introduced Jesus to the world at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And the same person of whom God Himself spake when John was baptizing Jesus, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is the same one that came as Messiah to the nation of Israel. But the Scripture said He came to His own, and His own received Him not. And finally, Jesus Himself declares His public ministry, declaring in His public ministry as He made this prophecy, so that all who heard and cared would know that He truly is the promised one, the Messiah, the Savior. Listen to what Jesus said. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Oh my, before He was ever crucified, before He ever died, before He was ever buried in that tomb and sealed in that tomb with a Roman seal, He had already promised, prophesied, proclaimed, made it clear that though they killed Him, though they put Him in that tomb, after 3 days and 3 nights, He would come forth out of the grave. And now the angel says to Mary, and Mary, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Now the Apostle Paul records God's promise to us in Romans 1:4. And He is declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Oh, let me tell you, the person and the prophecy of the resurrection points straight to this same Jesus. The one that was promised back in Genesis 3:15 had finally, after all of these years, had come. He had lived His life, a sinless life. And He went to Calvary without one crooked step or without one dark spot on His record. And He went to Calvary and there suffered and bled and died for our sins. Now they have Him in the grave. Right on time, this one, this Jesus, prophesied about His own resurrection. And now then, right on time, after 3 days and 3 nights, He comes out of the grave as He said. May I say, in the second place, I want you to notice not only the person and the prophecy of the resurrection, but the purpose and the promise of the resurrection. The purpose of the resurrection that I want to emphasize today is twofold. The first purpose of the resurrection was to declare that Jesus truly was the Messiah, the Savior. This is our assurance that the promised one had come. Every generation of God's people were looking for the Messiah. During that time, many false Christs were presenting themselves on the scene of human progress. However, when they died, they stayed dead. When they died, their body corrupted and decayed in the grave. But not so with God's Christ. He declared before His arrest and before His crucifixion that though He would truly die and be buried after 3 days and 3 nights, He would arise. And He did. And His resurrection declares that He is the anointed of God. He is God's Christ. He is the promised Savior for sinful man. Praise God, He is my Savior. And I do pray this morning you can say He is your Savior also. What a shame to be religious yet lost in sin. He can become your Savior also. But you must accept Him. You must decide for you that you need to be saved. Nobody can force you. Nobody can push it down you, shove it down you. It's a personal, individual decision. And everybody who's ever gotten saved had to believe the Scripture that Jesus is the Savior, that He died for our sins, and He rose again for our justification. And personally, in simple childlike faith, accept Him as our Savior. The second purpose of the resurrection is to let the whole world know that sin's wages have been paid for by God's own Son. And God has declared by the resurrection of Christ that He is satisfied with the full payment for our sin debt. Often I hear people say that they're satisfied with their religion and are willing to depend on it for their eternity. But whether or not we're satisfied is not the question. The question is God satisfied? Our sin was against God and is against God and God alone. And God alone must be satisfied with a payment for our sin debt. And Isaiah 53 declares that only by the substitutionary death of Jesus for sinners was God satisfied. But when God saw the travail, the suffering and bleeding and dying of Jesus for us, God said, "That's it. I'm satisfied. It's paid for. It's complete." Now, the promise of the resurrection is that all who will accept Christ by faith as the complete payment for their sin shall be saved. That's what the purpose of the resurrection, as I stated, twofold: to declare Jesus was Messiah and that the price of sin had been paid for completely and God was satisfied. The promise of the resurrection is that all who will accept Christ by faith as the complete payment for their sin shall be saved. Listen to God as He speaks through His Apostle Paul in Romans 4:25, talking about Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Justification is a part of salvation. Justification is that legal terminology where God declares the sinner that accepts Jesus is justified, free from guilt and condemnation because of sin. That's the reason He was raised again, for our justification. And then moving right on into Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, Paul continues saying, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Now notice the wonderful promise. He was raised for our justification. And then notice it says, the promise is by faith in Jesus Christ. Another word for faith is believing that He died for our sin and was raised again for our justification. And when we do that, another promise of the resurrection is that we have access. Access by faith. Access to what? Access to God. Access to the presence of God. You see, sin separated sinful man from a holy God. But Jesus on Calvary, when He died and when He arose again, opened the door of access so I, through Christ, can approach God anytime with anything. And then, lastly, I want you to look at the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection. The primary message of the New Testament Christian and the New Testament church is the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And then He gives this promise, "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, this passage tells us what to preach. We're to preach the gospel. The gospel. And Paul defines the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Listen. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved." Now notice what he says. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now that's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is our primary message in the church and for the church. We're to carry it to the whole world, starting in our Jerusalem. And Paul declares in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. We're told that there's enough power in the death and resurrection of Christ to save any sinner, to save everyone that believeth. That because of the death and resurrection of Christ, salvation is available to anyone and everyone who wants it. You say, I don't know if I want it or not. You want it if there's something in you saying you need to be saved. And that something in you saying you need to be saved is the Holy Spirit of God doing His work, showing you that you're a sinner. And without Jesus, death and resurrection for you, to your account, you're lost and without hope. Doomed without ever any hope forever and forever. The only limitations that are put on salvation other than simple childlike faith are the limitations that sinners put on it. God says it's for anyone. And the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is available to everyone that believeth, and it's able to save all who will believe upon Him. Because of the death and resurrection of Christ, God has not only opened wide the door of salvation, He's taken it off its hinges. There are no national limitations to the salvation that God has provided. He says it's to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That word Greek does not mean only the nation of Greece. It means Gentile. Any Gentile. Now, in conclusion, I must ask you, do you really understand that the death and resurrection of Christ was for you and me personally? Don't look at this in a general manner. It's one thing to say He died for the world, and He did. But we've got to get down and make this personal. Because when He died on that old rugged cross on Calvary's hill, He had you and me on His mind and in His heart. When He came forth out of that tomb, it was for your salvation and for mine. Can you think of any greater sin for sinners to commit than not to accept Jesus as their Savior? It may be here today that you're unsaved. And I want you to know that if you are, and you leave here unsaved today, there is no greater sin that you can commit than to leave here without accepting Christ as Savior. The one who loved you while you were yet a sinner. The one who bare in His body the marks and the beatings and the sufferings and the wrath of God against your sin and mine. I can think of no greater insult to God than a person can give than to not accept His Son as Savior. You notice I did not say to reject Him as Savior. We have in our mind to reject Him that we've got to shake our fist in Him and say, I want nothing to do with you. Very few people do that. But the world is rejecting Him by not accepting Him, by putting it off until a later date, by saying one of these days, one of these days. I ask you, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? This is your day. This Easter Sunday morning is your day of deliverance or doom. That's what you're making a decision about. Heaven or hell. Deliverance or doom. And having preached all I'm going to preach, I've got to ask you, what will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Will you do like His own people when He came and they received Him not? You go back and look at Israel's history, and let me say to you, I believe the last 2,000 years of Israel's history would have been far different had they embraced Him as Messiah. May I say to you, your future will be far different when you accept Him as your Savior and your Lord. For not to do so is to reject Him. Not to do so is to make mockery of His life, His death, and His resurrection. For He did it for you. And He did it for me. Can you say you have accepted Him? Heavenly Father, that's our message this morning. And I thank You for going to Calvary and dying for our sins. I thank You for leaving that tomb right on time. And I thank You for telling us before it ever happened exactly what You were going to do. Now, Father, there's some people here who need You desperately. There's lost sinners today, people who have never accepted You as Savior that need to be saved.